For years, Tom Castle of Madison traveled the world collecting and performing maritime songs and sailing tall ships on the Great Lakes. If Castle had set sail during the Roaring Twenties or Great Depression era, he just might have crossed paths with a notorious Great Lakes sailor called Roaring Dan Seavey. Seavey wore many hats: lumberman, saloon keeper, gold rush miner, bootlegger, but his biggest claim was that of Great Lakes pirate. Now Castle is set to debut his one-man play called Dan Seavey, Confessions of a Great Lakes Pirate at Overture Center for the Arts in Madison. The actor, musician, and tall ships captain Tom Castle spoke with Kate Archer Kent about becoming a Great Lakes pirate.
What is your fascination with Roaring Dan Seavey? What draws you to his story?
Well, for many, many years, I was a tall ship sailor on the Great Lakes. I started out in Chicago on an old schooner built in 1888 called Charlotte Ann. And at the same time, I was also playing in Irish pubs. And my old singing partner and I basically designed a job. We were going to sing and sail for a living. And we did that for many, many, many years. And then I ended up doing a little bit of theater in Madison. Because when you're sailing on the Great Lakes, some tourist, some passenger, somebody's going to come up and say, "Were there pirates on the Great Lakes, Captain?" And if you Google pirates and Great Lakes right now, you'll get the name Dan Seavey.
So in the 1890s, Seavey settles in a Michigan port city, Escanaba, where he runs this small freight boat service. What was he doing as he came in and out of harbor? And his boat is called Wander.
Mm-hmm. He had many boats over the years. In fact, he talks about it a little bit. He was known for having a New England accent. And there's a part of the play that says, you know, "We had a lot of boats over the years. Yeah, Wander, of course. Lost her to a fire and miss her the most. And there was the Mary Alice, a quiet little gasoline cruiser. And the James H. Hall, an unlucky boat for sure. And some say the Nellie Johnson. At least that judge in Chicago said so."
Oh, my goodness. So Seavey looted anything he could get when he sailed into a port after dark with his lights off.
Oh, yeah.
What did he steal from the docks?
Well, a lot of people think about pirates as being gold and silver and pieces of eight. But most of the time, even in the golden age of piracy, they just stole whatever they could. I mean, it could be lumber, it could be cloth, it could be just building materials. But, you know, sometimes you might luck out and get something that's really, really valuable. But most of the time, it was just whatever people were carrying. Because basically, sailing ships on the Great Lakes back then were the tractor trailer of the 19th century. Hmm. And so lumber and grain and building materials of all kinds. Anything that got around, that's why Chicago's on the map, and all these Great Lakes ports. So there's a part of the play, too, when he talks about it. And he talks about basically going down. There was this one fellow who owed him a lot of money. So Seavey and a couple other guys went down to the dock, cast the lines off, sailed this fellow's boat to Chicago, and sold the cargo.
Hmm. Wow.
There's another episode where he sees a bunch of wool hides on the dock and takes off with them, and also gets the owner to pay him to do it through a little bit of a trick.
He also had this other trick. He had a buoy trick where he'd lure ships to run aground by putting out false buoys, and then he'd go loot the ship after the crew had abandoned it. Is that true?
Yeah, well, in the play, in the Great Lakes, they call it moon cussing. Moon cussing means you put lights up on shore where they shouldn't be to cause vessels to go aground or even worse. If you go down to Key West, you'll see the Wreckers Museum, and that's basically the same thing that they would do.
Hmm. You are a musician, as you have said. You collect sea shanties, these sailor songs that have been around for centuries. How will you incorporate these songs into your play?
Yeah, I started doing sea shanties when I started sailing, and decades before there was a viral, you know, thing on the internet. Actually, before there was an internet. And and shanties are basically the work songs of the sea. And as I'm thinking about it, there really are no, if you're being very technical, there are no sea shanties in the play. There are nautical ballads.
Okay.
And story songs. And let's see, there's three of them from the Great Lakes. There's one from the ocean that was also sung on the Great Lakes. There was a long, long time ago, around the same time I started sailing, I met a history professor from Loyola University in Chicago, Ted Karamansky, and he turned me and my ex-partner into the Ivan Henry Walton collection at the University of Michigan. And Walton was this guy who was a professor there, and he dragged a record-cutting machine around the Great Lakes from 1939 to 1942, and he collected all these songs and stories from old-timers. Of course, if they were old-timers in 1940, they were young men during the heyday of sail on the Great Lakes.
So you've brought your concertina, this small bellows-type instrument. Mm-hmm. It kind of resembles an accordion in some respects. Can you give us a sample of the sailor music?
Yeah, well, there's a song that runs through the whole play. It kind of ties the whole thing together. It's called Moonlight Tonight. And it was collected up in Nova Scotia, I believe in the early 50s. And it's a song a commercial fisherman used to sing. And Seavey was born and spent the first few years of his life sailing with his father in Maine. So I thought I'm going to justify or rationalize the fact that he might have known this song. So there's a pretty part of it that's But then there's the more push-pull harmonica kind of sound.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it. CV, he was crooked in his dealings, but mm-hmm. in the end, we're rooting for him. And I'm wondering, without spoiling, why is there a turnaround in how we think of this character from history?
Everybody likes a rascal. So I grew up watching old movies on WGN in Chicago. And the ones that really hit me as a kid were like Robin Hood and Treasure Island and the Seahawk and things like that. And I thought about Treasure Island, Long John Silver, and he is somebody that you meet, and he's very charming, and he's, you know, definitely a character. And then you find out as the movie goes on just what a horrible person he is, violent, murderous person he is. But then in the end, when, you know, when he's getting away, you're really still kind of rooting for him. And Seavey was known for two things. He was known for being fairly violent, and he was also known as a huge defender of children. Amazing. So in the play, I've tried to put those two things together and explain a little bit why that might have happened. Most of the background I'm using in the play comes from a book by Richard Boyd, the biography of Seavey. But I do have one story in the play that comes directly from a family. There's a part of the play where Seavey is talking about standing up for children, and there was these two boys in Escanaba who were stealing apples out of his barrel on his boat. And he says, "You know what I did when I caught the little thieves? Hell, I just gave him more apples." And one of those boys was Joe Vinette, who just passed away not too many years ago. And when he was, he's the head of Vinette Boat Works up in Escanaba. Huh. And his daughter, Joan Vinette, I met in Munising, told me that story long ago. And I kind of filed it away. And it's also in Richard Boyd's book as well.
For someone born in 1865, Dan Seavey lived a long life. I mean, he died at age 84 in 1949. What were his later years like passing away in Peshtigo?
Mm-hmm. There's a part where he talks about when he turned 50 and his arm went bad and he wasn't able to bully everybody the way he was.
He couldn't fight like he used to.
Not at all. So he ended up doing different things. He lived in the Eklund Convalescent Home for a while. He also stayed with his daughter, Josephine, and had a very unremarkable end, actually.
Mm-hmm. Are there any upstanding qualities or traits from Dan Seavey that we could apply to our own lives?
Good ones or bad ones? Yeah,
I'll take some good ones.
Yeah, in the play, he says, "I've done some bad things, some downright awful things, but some good ones too, and a few that were questionable."
so we have to decide what is good or bad.
It's all relative.
It's all relative. Yeah. Well, Tom Castle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Actor, musician, and tall ships sailor Tom Castle of Madison talked with Kate Archer Kent about his one-man show called Dan Seavey, Confessions of a Great Lakes Pirate. It's put on by Four Seasons Theater, and he performs it tomorrow at the Overture Center in Madison. We go out with Castle's concertina and the song he wrote called Cold Winds.
Cold winds on the inland sea, same winds that called our fathers, cold winds that call in me. Ice forms on deck and whiskers, light a fire and stay below. Shut up tight, the winds all whisper, pass the bottle, it's time to go. Cold winds blow across the harbor, cold winds on the inland sea, same winds that call the